Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless. Good morning. How are you doing? I hope you all had a good vacation. It's good to see some of you back from trips. Around, I'm trying to do something different where I can control. I stole my kid's iPad, and I'm trying to control like the screen behind me with it, but it doesn't seem to be cooperating. So we'll wing it. As many of you know, we have a New Year's tradition around here, and it's based on some of my family's own traditions. There's this Korean custom that every year, the kids especially, because they get dressed up in their hanboks, that's traditional Korean outfits, and they bow to their elders. You know, they wish them long life and health and prosperity. And in return, the kids, or the elders, they give the kids some money and a blessing. Yeah, so you gotta bow first. Now, Alyssa and I, we've taken this tradition, we've made it our own. So we'll discuss each kid and think about what they need to hear and what blessing they might need to carry through the upcoming stage of life, you know, whatever that happens to be. And then we'll talk about the overarching theme that becomes our family's collective blessing over the year. And I brought that tradition into the church. Every year I'll start praying for the congregation, usually starting in October. And I'll look over the membership list, and I'll start praying for each person on that and the email database, you know. I'll see if the Holy Spirit brings anything to mind. And then after a prayer period of prayer and discernment, I'll just kind of have something. Every year I discover the blessing in a new way. One year it came to me in a dream. Another, I just heard something. I was like, yeah, that's it. And this first sermon of the year is actually a look at the blessing and why I gave it. And then I'll use that blessing as the benediction for the year, which is why I always give the same benediction every time. It's actually kind of what I prayed that the congregation needs to hear that year as they go out into the world. So, but before I get into the New Year blessing, I always like to review what a blessing is. And why I thought it was something important to share with the community. Now, there's lots of different theological definitions of blessing, and the one I typically use is a future reward, right? It's a future reward received at the present time. So it's something for the future that you get to have now. It's kind of like getting to open a birthday or Christmas present early, so you can use that reward before it's the full time. For example, when I was in seventh grade, my family got a VCR, and it was a huge deal. And, you know, if you don't know, a VCR was like a tape that you could use to watch movies a long time ago. And anyways, we got the VCR, and we got one movie, but it was supposed to be our Christmas present, the family Christmas present, but we got it early, like at the start of Christmas break, so we could watch movies during Christmas break, right? So it's the gift that we got to use, right? It's a gift from the future, but you get to use it in the present. And the movie was Crocodile Dundee, and we watched it like 100 times easy over that Christmas break. So that's a definition that I like, a reward or something useful received before the fullness of its time. But lately, I've been liking this definition of a blessing, which is a lot simpler. To bestow goodness upon. I really like that, right? To bestow goodness on. To give goodness to someone. That's a good definition. And I like that because we live in a world full of curses, where we curse one another almost continually. For example, when I go grocery shopping, I always have a list in my head, and I kind of know where this is in the store. And when I go, I just kind of push my cart through, right there. And I don't mess around, and I just whiz my cart through the aisles, and it feels like everybody around me is in slow motion, and it drives me crazy. It frustrates me, and in my head, I'm almost like, you know, I sometimes get so frustrated that like, it's almost like I'm cursing people, like just for being there. They're not even doing anything to me. They're just doing their shopping, but you know, they're in the way when I want to do my shopping. People tend to curse one another really easily for being inconveniences. The world's full of people that are in our way, that are keeping us from doing the things we want to do and when we want to do them. And we have to force ourselves to slow down, to be patient, and to be a blessing, not a curse to one another. We need blessings. We need to be people of blessings. We need to know how to give them, and we need to know how to receive them. We need to know how to bestow goodness upon. And that's why this has become a bit of a tradition for me, to give a blessing to you, because you have been cursed enough by this world, and you need some goodness bestowed upon you. And to be clear, the power of the blessing does not lie with the person speaking the blessing, right? It's not my power. I don't have any. And it's not the words that I used. I'm not casting a spell. It's not magic. It's not the words that have power. But the power of a blessing relies upon who's being called upon when giving the blessing. And it's God that's being called upon, right? It's God that supplies the power of the blessing. So that's all my introduction about blessing. So getting on to this year. So I've been praying, and honestly, I started praying a little bit late. I started in November instead of October, and nothing was coming to mind. Nothing was gelling for me. But then on December 6th, my Bible app, you know, the YouVersion Bible app, Scripture of the Day popped up, and it was 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. And, you know, usually I get the verse of the day and I kind of read it and then that's it. But this time I felt like I kind of should pray and meditate on this verse for a little bit. So I did. And I was studying the verse and I got a feeling. I was like, okay, this is not my blessing, but it's close. It's close to the blessing. So I kept praying over it. Now, this verse is a call to repent. And if you know me, I'm a firm believer in that repentance, being told to repent, it's not a sign of condemnation. It's not a rejection. It's a mark of love. It's being told that you don't have to be stuck. You don't have to deal with the same things you've been dealing with day after day, because that's death, dealing with the same thing day after day. You don't have to be stuck in death. You can turn around. You're loved, and you can turn away from death into life. And once I started thinking about repentance and love, I started to think, yeah, I'm on the right track. I'm closer to this blessing. And then this story came to mind. Once the theologian Karl Barth was visiting the United States, and Barth is a world-renowned theologian, arguably the greatest theologian of the 20th century. He was a former pastor and a seminary professor that was kicked out of Germany for not swearing an oath of loyalty to Germany and the Third Reich. Then he authored the Bardam Declaration, which was a theological rejection of the nationalization of religion in response to the Church of Germany becoming more and more pro-Nazi. And he's most known for his unfinished work of Church Dogmatics, which is 13 volumes of the most complicated but brilliant theological insights. So this brilliant, exceptionally verbose theologian was asked by an American journalist when he visited America, if you could sum up your ideas in the one sentence, what would it be? And I mean, that's a very American question, right? So can you turn all of your brilliant, like insights into a soundbite? And this is the answer that I gave to the journalist. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And as soon as I remember that story, I knew that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is the blessing for the year. It's our blessing that we need this year, I think. Now, Admittedly, I was a little bit insecure with that because, I want something more witty and more original. But the more I sat with it, the more sure I was that this is what I had for you this year. So let's break it down real quick. First word, Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, in whom and through whom all things were created, the very nature of God and fully God, the most important human that ever lived. He's the second Adam, the archetype of humanity, who is God in human flesh, who was born and died and on the third day was resurrected so he could resurrect, redeem, and restore creation and establishing his kingdom rule forever and ever. That's Jesus. And Jesus loves me. Jesus cares for you, not an abstract you, the personal you, the you with the annoying traits and habits that you wish you didn't have, the you with the bad choices that you've made or that you've been victim to. You. Jesus loves you. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Personally, you. The part of you that you can't stand. He loves you. Not the best parts of you. You. All of you. Not the best things you've done. You without reservation. You without conditions. You are beloved. And Jesus loves you. The next part for the Bible. Now, the Bible scripture. And it teaches us about God and how to faithfully follow God. And this is the text that teaches us that Jesus loves us. And if we're not getting that from our Bible studies and devotions and the sermons that we're hearing, then we're getting those wrong. Right? We're getting it wrong if that's not the message that we're carrying with this. And that's not to say the scripture doesn't have hard teachings, but behind every teaching, behind every correction, behind every story, when it's placed in context, becomes a reflection of Jesus and Jesus's love. John was asked by the Pharisees, or sorry, not John. Jesus was asked by the Pharisees once, what do we got to do? Like, we've read all these scriptures. What are we supposed to do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, right? Scriptures are all pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the one with life. Jesus is the point of the scripture. And it's ultimately the testimony and witness to Jesus. And this is the Jesus who loves you. And if you're not hearing that when you're reading the Bible, then you're doing it wrong. Then you're doing it wrong. Jesus loves you. And then the last part tells me so. You are not exempt from the message. There is nothing that disqualifies this from you. Jesus loves you. You may be an addict, you may have a criminal history. You may be homeless. You may consider yourself a total failure. You may struggle with mental health issues. You might struggle with anxiety, with depression. You may be gay or trans or bi or asexual, and you might not even feel like you're entirely sure if you believe in God anymore. You may not feel like you have a place in this church, but you are not exempt from this message. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. This we know, for the Bible tells us so. So, that's the blessing for this year's. I'd like to give it to you. So, you're going to self-identify with these, okay? I'm not going to put anybody in the box. But if you consider yourself to be an elder, please stand and receive this blessing. You can be an elder? Okay. All right. Elders, receive this blessing. Jesus loves you. You matter to Jesus. You have weathered the world. You have had heartbreaks and laughter, and know that your God still adores you. You are his child, and Jesus delights in you. Jesus loves you. Women of the church, if you can, please stand up. Elders, you can sit down if you want, or you can stand up, you know. So people can belong to multiple categories. Receive this blessing. Jesus loves you. Without you having to try, without having to prove yourself, you can let down your guard. You can take a deep breath and open your heart to that love. Jesus loves you. You may be seated. Men of the church, if you can stand, please do so. Receive this blessing. Jesus loves you. There is nothing you have to do. There is nothing you have to prove. He is not ashamed of you. You don't have to earn your place to be accepted. Jesus loves you. And last, young people of the church, if you can stand, please do so. Receive this blessing. Jesus loves you. Not who you are going to be, and not because you're always going to make the right choices, but right now and forever, Jesus loves you. And you can't do anything to lose that love. Jesus loves you now and forever. You may be seated. Let's pray. Holy Father, we pray that your truth resonates in our hearts. We pray that we can remember the truth even when we don't feel it, even when it's hard. And we don't want to believe it. May we know your deep, deep love for us that surpasses all understanding. In Christ's name.